Good morning, brothers and sisters. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 19. I preached the first part of this passage last time. Today I want to preach the remaining portion of this passage. I told you that Paul motivated us to praise God for the heavenly blessings. Verse 3 to 14, then we were reminded by Paul for what things we can worship, for what things we can praise the Lord, not for earthly things, for the heavenly blessings. Now he wants to remind us of the importance of prayer, what he is doing already for the Ephesians. I want to remind you what one of the Puritans, John Bunyan, says like this: pray often, for prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge for Satan. So the men of God men of God depended on God in their lives. Even Paul is example to us to depending on God. Brothers and sisters, we are not superheroes and superwomen. In the world, in the church, we should depend on God. If somebody is depending on himself, on herself, that shows his pride, her pride. As a human beings, we need to depend on God, especially for the things that matter, the things that are eternal. The Paul is doing that in this passage. He was praying. Even Jesus was an example to us how to depend on God. Even though he was God, but as a man, he obeyed God. He depended upon God. So we can read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 19. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. If you see this passage very clearly, we know that Paul is praying for the church. It is an essential prayer for the church. There are so many prayers that we can pray to the Lord, but we need to pray an essential prayer to the Lord. That's what Paul is doing here. Verse 15, he says, especially verse 16, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Paul prays for the church, not for his personal needs and concerns always. It is not wrong to pray for personal needs and concerns, but what is essential prayer? The Paul is teaching us, all godly men prayed mostly for others more than for their personal and physical needs. That is one of the mark of a mature Christian. He prays for others. Even John Calvin says that our prayer must not be self-centered. To make intercession for men is the most powerful and practical way in which we can express our love for others. That's what he said. Are you loving others? So don't ask, are you loving me? You ask instead of, are you praying for me? If you are asking somebody else, are you praying for me? That means you are asking that person, are you loving for me? Are you loving me? That's what people believe. Paul, he loves the church. That's the reason he prayed for the church, for others, for family members, for children. But most of the time we neglect, right, praying for our spouse and children and always thinking about ourselves. We are not praying for others. Do you love these church members? Do you love? If you are loving the church, you are praying for them. That is the fruit of loving others. If you ask me, I love brethren, how can I pray for them? I want to pray for them. Here Paul teaches us three marks of an essential prayer for the church. The first mark of an essential prayer for the church is it contains thanksgiving to God. So you know that I have preached this passage, this portion already. Two specific bases for thanking God ceaselessly. The faith of the church, we need to thank God in our prayers for the faith of the church. We need to thank God in our prayers for the love of the church, the love that they have for others. And we came to know that it is a divine love. It is an inclusive love. It is a constructive love. Very clear, right? Right? Now we can move to the second mark of an essential prayer for the church. It is offered to God who answers. It is offered to God who answers. So it shows us we should not pray to men. We should not depend on men for the great things, for heavenly blessings. We should depend on God. It is offered to God who answers. So man, he is not depending on men and women. He is not depending on human beings. He is depending on God, one who answers. Very clear in this text, verse 16. He says, while making mention of you in my prayers, verse 17, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. Who is giving to you? God. Who is giving to you? The Father of glory. So there is the lesson here, whom we should offer our prayer. Whom we should pray. Paul is saying, it is offered to God who answers. He is giving example of his life. This is the second mark of an essential prayer for the church. Brothers and sisters, we should know who we are praying to. Paul calls God with two titles. When you understand who God is, brothers and sisters, listen carefully. If you read this text, it is very clear. If you understand who God is, it will motivate you to run to Him, to depend on Him, to trust in Him, in your prayers. Two descriptions of God, the one who answers our prayers. The first description of God, the one who answers our prayers, is He is the great God. He is the great God. Look at verse 17, which says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grammatically, this is a possessive idea. The God belongs to Christ. That is the literal meaning. This refers to literally to Jesus belongs to God, and God belongs to Jesus. Because of their divine essence that will come. God is God. Jesus is God. They are equal in essence. And also we need to understand the theological aspect. God is God of the Lord Jesus Christ in His incarnation. In His incarnation. Jesus is our Lord. He is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. This phrase does not deny the deity of Jesus Christ. We need to understand in the view of incarnation of Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus calls on the cross. What did He call? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? That shows as an incarnate human being, He is calling God. And he is the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. That shows He is a great God. He is not normal one. He is a great God. Then we need to understand who Jesus is. Why Paul is mentioning He is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because God listens to us when we pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God-man. So God listens to us. He is the mediator between God and man. We need to go through Lord Jesus Christ to God. This text is explaining to us very clearly, brothers and sisters, the humanity of Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, the deity of Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the Lord, right? Do you see that? Our Lord. Our Lord. So he is the mediator. That's the reason when you understand Jesus, God is great God, when we go through the mediator. Because of Jesus Christ, God is going to answer our prayers. Brothers and sisters, we must go to God of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God who has the same essence as Jesus, to God whom Jesus called my Father, my God. You should not go to any other. We should pray to this God. We must plead God in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator. You cannot go to God directly, right? Because God is holy. God is not going to listen to you unless you belong to Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who does not have fellowship, relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he cannot have relationship with the Lord God. That's the point we need to learn. That leads us to the second description of God, the one who answers our prayers. He is the great God. The second description of God is, he is the glorious Father. He is the glorious Father. Look at verse 17. He says, the Father of glory. The Greek idea is that God is glorious Father. Glory is the quality of the Father. What Paul says here, that our Father is glorious. Look at the word, the Father. Here Paul called God as the Father. He is not the biological Father, but the idea is the supreme God who is responsible for the origin and care of all human beings, even all creatures. In general, brothers and sisters, we need to understand God is the Father of all creatures in general. In the Bible, he is the Father of even angels and men, because he is the creator, he is their creator, sustainer, protector, and ruler. Even Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 says, For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven, did you see that? From whom every family in heaven on the earth derives its name. He is the creator of all beings in the heavens, on the earth. Especially, he is the Father of all believers. All believers. He is the one who gave spiritual birth through the Spirit. When we think about Father, what do you think? What is the picture that comes in your mind when you think about Father? Remember, a person who loves, the person who listens, the person who provides, who cares, who protects, sometimes who disciplines. So that is the picture of the Father. When Paul described God as the Father, he met the same picture. God is the one who loves, brothers and sisters. God is the one who listens to us. God is the one who protects us, cares for us. God is the one, sometimes, in some cases, who disciplines us. He is your Father. So he is motivating to us. He believes that he is praying to the Father and he is helping us. We should learn this lesson that when you are praying to God, you should think about God as your Father. Your Father. Even why we pray to God? Because every good thing and perfect gift is from him. Do you know, right? James chapter 1 verse 17, which says every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. Did you see that passage? Paul not just described. He's the father simply, every good things are coming from him. That's the reason we pray to him. We run to him. But if you are father, you can understand, right, how your children are depending upon you for small things, for big things. They always ask, I need that one, I need this one. Daddy, can you take me out? Daddy, can you buy for me? They can't do anything with their strength. Everything they ask, they depend on their parents, their father especially. They know that God, father is the one who provides, who works hard, who helps, who cares. That's why, you know, when they leave, so much emotion will come, right? They miss father. They're going to study somewhere else. Even mother also, right? So we can see that the father is caring. If earthly father is caring so much, what about heavenly father? Do you imagine? He is your father. He is your father. That's the reason he is motivating us. He believed that he is motivating us to run to our father. Listen, brothers, Paul not just described God as the father, but the father of glory. Father of glory. As I said before, which means he is the glorious father. That is the Greek idea. He is glorious. He is glorious. He is not just father like any other. What is the meaning of glory? When I'm reading, when I'm studying about this word, glory means majesty. It is weightiness. Glory is nothing but majesty. Our God is the majestic father, glorious father. That's what Paul is saying here. To understand what is glory, it is weightiness. I was traveling, I was going from PTS at 8 o'clock in the evening. I have seen one python crossing the road. After seeing that, almost my heart is beating. I can see the splendor, the weightiness. So it is, that is called glory. When you see the big python traveling nicely, aramse, crossing the road, and you can see that weightiness, you can see the majesty, right? That is the idea. If python, the small creature in front of Jesus, front of God, which is created by God, she has so much weightiness. What about God, one who created, one who is created all creatures? The Father whose characteristic is majesty. The scripture says very clearly that majesty, glory belongs to God. Belongs to God. That is his quality. That is his quality. That's why, psalmist like David, he wants to see the face of God, face of the Lord. He prayed for that. He was seeking for that because he understood the mighty, the glory of Father. He's not small Father. He is glorious Father. That is the thing that will motivate us to run to him. Some facts about the glory, majesty of Father, we can see in the scripture. For example, Psalm 19:1 says, his glory has been seen in his supreme rule over the world. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens are telling the glory of God. That when you look at the heaven, so it is telling the majesty of God, the glory of God. What a wonderful God he is. Especially, I can give a small example. When you are traveling by flight, you can see those clouds, right? When you see those clouds, so beautiful, right? So glorious. But what about God who created them? He is glorious. He is majestic Father. That's what he's saying. Even creation is proclaiming, telling, teaching us, know your Father. Sometimes you forget, right? Who our Father is. So see creation. The creation will tell us, declares the majesty of our Father. The second fact is his glory is demonstrated in deeds of power. deeds of power. John Gospel chapter 11 verse 40 says, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? When Jesus was doing miracles, when he was showing his power, that shows who God is, how much glorious the God is. Even Romans 6:4 says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. His glory is demonstrated, displayed very clearly in the deeds of power. Not only that, his glory was shown partially to men through Christ. Exodus 24 verse 15. Then Moses went up to the mountain. The cloud covered the mountain. After seeing the glory of the Lord, what happened to Paul? People were not able to see the face of Moses even. He is glorious. He is majestic Father. You remember? The Red Sea was divided amazingly, wonderfully. That shows his glory. That shows his glory. Brothers and sisters, if God is your Father, the glorious one, then it leads you to pray for others. He listens to us and answers us because he is the Father who is the sinless, the one who is powerful, one who knows all situations in your life. He is the sovereign ruler, the mighty God, because he is the glorious Father. Glorious, glorious Father. Paul is praying to this God. You should pray to this God for the sake of family members and the church members. Paul described very clearly, right? Who we should pray. That is the great God. That is the glorious Father. He is your Father. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you, are you feeling, when you are praying to God, do you feel that you are speaking with your Father? Or just like, you know, somebody who always punishes you and you are scared about him? No, he is like your Father, right? At the same time, you should have reverence towards him because he is glorious Father. Glorious Father. The third mark of an essential prayer for the church, we can see now, the third mark of an essential prayer for the church is, it is done to know God more deeply. It is done to know God more deeply. Look at the word "that" in verse 17, which refers to the purpose of praying for the church. Paul is telling why he is praying. What is the purpose of praying for the church? This is to know God more deeply. Look at verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom, of revelation in the knowledge of him. That is the purpose to pray. That's why it is essential prayer for the church. For what we are praying? We need to pray for others so that they may know God more deeply. Deeply, more deeply. Last Sunday we heard, right? Three marks of, like, no, maturity in the church. Like, no, children, they know a little bit. They know gospel. They know what Jesus has done, what God has done. They know young men. They know a little bit. They overcome the sin. They have more wisdom of God. And older men. They are mature Christians. They know God very well. Why Paul is praying here? Each one of us should know him. Whatever you know, that is not sufficient. You should know more about him. That's why he's praying. Literally, in growing knowledge of him, to succeed in knowing him. Look at verse 18. He says, so that you will know. What is the hope of his calling? Then he says, you will know what is the glory of his inheritance, so that you may know the surpassing greatness of his power. The main focus here in the prayer is people should know about God. It is talking about intellectual. It is talking about you should use your mind. You should know who God is from the scriptures by the help of the Holy Spirit. Don't say that, I know him. Don't be emotional. You should be intellectual about God. Don't throw intellectual things. It's like, oh, no. Don't be emotional. Your emotions, your love for God should come from what you know about God, from the scriptures. So Paul is praying that you may know, you may grow to know God more deeply. That is the prayer. That's why we need to pray. It is essential prayer. Paul clarifies that purpose of praying for the church. Look at the word to know, which means to be able to understand, to apprehend. It also means recognize, to grasp the meaning of something, come to know, experience. That is the idea. The Greek word, the meaning is to understand, to experience, to recognize who God is. So Paul's prayer, see, after reading verse 3 to 14, they came to know that. They know so much about God, but it is not sufficient. What you know about God, those things are not sufficient. You need to grow more and more in him. That is the prayer. That's we need to pray for others. But what we pray for things for others? No, give a job, give that one, this one. There is no sin in it. But those things are not essential prayer. But the essential prayer is this. The people should grow in the knowledge of God. We came to know that what we should pray about, it is to know God. Are you praying for their intimate knowledge of God? Are you praying, brothers and sisters? What was the last time you prayed for others so that they may grow in the knowledge of God? Paul is not satisfied with the doctrines that they know already, which are taught by him. Especially, as I said before, he taught them. He stayed 3 years, right, with them. It is not enough. This knowledge leads to relationship, intimacy with God. The truth about God makes us more faithful to following him and practicing holiness. So there is a proverb, right? Tell your friend, then I will tell who you are. Like, no? Tell your friend. So why they say that? If somebody having fellowship, friendship with somebody else, then they will become like him. When you are reading the scripture, when you are knowing who God is, you will become like him. You will trust in him, even in darkness. Whatever situation comes, cloud may come and everything is going ups and downs. But when you know God, you are stable. You are stable, even in cyclone, even in darkness, even in hard situations, because you know who God is. That's the reason we should grow in the wisdom of God, in the knowledge of God. You don't love your spouse if you don't know him or her, right? So when you know who your spouse is, who is your husband, who is your wife, then you are able to love them. The intimacy will come through knowing him. The faith will produce in him when you know him. You can stand in the world as blameless, as holy people, when you know him. The problem with us is we don't know God as enough. That's the reason we are facing so many problems and crises in our spiritual life, even our relationship with others. Because you don't know, but you think you know about him. But your relationship with God, your relationship with others, how you act, how you think, that shows that you don't know God. It is not enough. You need to grow more. So that's the prayer, right? That's the prayer. When you know God, you can act, you can follow Lord Jesus Christ. It is very simple. Three key aspects that we need to understand when praying for the knowledge of God. the first key aspect that we need to understand when praying for the knowledge of God is the means. The means. Spiritual illumination. Spiritual illumination. Look at verse 17. You need it. Otherwise, you cannot grow in the knowledge of God. Verse 17, part B says, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. The purpose of praying for the church, God might give a spirit of wisdom, of revelation in His knowledge. The wisdom and revelations are the means to know God deeply. None will know God more deeply without a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation that should come from God. A spirit does not refer to here the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, right? Already. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He is given as the pledge of our inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 to 14. He is in us, right? But the spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, is not talking about the Holy Spirit. Here, spirit is not talking about Holy Spirit. It is talking about, even it is not talking about human spirit. Paul is not praying that human spirit, the human wisdom, the human revelation. What Paul is talking here, it is mostly considered a spirit as qualitative. A spirit refers to the quality of wisdom, revelation. The idea is that Paul is praying that God may give spiritual wisdom and revelation. Spiritual wisdom, spiritual revelation that you need to grow in the knowledge of God. For that he is praying. So we came to know that what is the means of growing in the knowledge of God? You need spiritual wisdom. You need spiritual revelation. The wisdom refers to the skill to know God. To skill to know God. Look at the word revelation. Literally meaning this word is uncovering. Making fully known. Disclosure of the truth concerning divine things before unknown. Before unknown. Paul prays to God so that God may uncover the truth, disclose the truth about him that was before unknown. Unknown. You people, you don't know fully about God. You need to grow in the knowledge of God. For that, you need revelation. God has to give that. He is going to give that. Brothers and sisters, ultimately, a spiritual wisdom and spiritual revelation come from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, who uses the scriptures, illuminates us to understand the truth. Understand the truth. When somebody is reading the scripture, what Paul is praying, whenever you read the scripture, whenever you are listening to the gospel, the word of God, the Holy Spirit may illuminate you so that you may understand who God is. Without him, we won't understand. Without illumination of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to know God fully. Again, we need to understand, it doesn't mean that we get new revelations. We said the scripture. It means illumination of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us, discloses the things of God, because God gives spiritual wisdom and spiritual revelation through the Holy Spirit. Maybe you may think that revelation is something about dreams and visions, that you see that through the dreams, through the visions, I can know God, who God is. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about illumination of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you, help you to understand the fact about God. Brothers and sisters, pray to the Holy Spirit, who is the agent of God, who gives wisdom and revelation to grow in the knowledge of God. Sometimes we are so far from the Holy Spirit, right? These charismatic people, those who use us the Holy Spirit name, they use us Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. They are so extreme. They are misusing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are misusing, mistreating the name of the Holy Spirit. But in other side, brothers, listen, we are so far to Holy Spirit. But you need to remember the Holy Spirit is one of the person in Trinity, right? He is God. He is the one who gave you new birth. He is the one who helps you to understand the scripture. That is the gift of God. That is, God is doing that in our life. God will do that in our life through the Holy Spirit. The second key aspect that we need to understand when praying for the knowledge of God is the capacity. The capacity, spiritual enlightenment. Look at verse 18. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Listen, Paul is not praying for the enlightenment of their heart. But the idea is that they had this experience already. They have this experience already. What Paul wants to communicate is, he prays for the church to know God deeply because the eyes of their heart have been enlightened. This is past. It happened already. But you have capacity to grow in the knowledge of God because you have been enlightened already. We are not active in this work, but passive. God is the one who enlightened our eyes of hearts. Enlightened is to make known in reference to the inner person, the inner life. Give light to the inner life. Shed light upon the inner life, inner person. The hearts refers to here inner being. It is very simple but amazing truth that God gave light to our darkened eyes. He shed light upon sinful men who are in darkness. This is the work of God in believers. This indicates the salvation of believers. Because you are saved, because you have been enlightened, because you know the truth, because you know the God, you have capacity to know God more deeply. That's what Paul is saying here. That's what Paul believes. Their blind inner eyes were opened to see the light of the gospel. This refers to the salvation from their total depravity and from their spiritual deadness and blindness. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, we were dead, right? We were dead. We won't see the light of God, but God gave new birth. God has enlightened us to know him. For this reason, because you have been enlightened, you have capacity to know God more deeply. That's what he's saying. Don't say that only scholars, PTS students, are those who go to TMS and TMA and other colleges in Bangalore, they know more God. No, this is a lie. Sometimes the common believers knows more than the scholars. The idea is, he's not teaching go to seminary, go to other colleges. He's teaching you that you have capacity. You have capacity. Why you have capacity? You are born again. You know the truth. You know the light. You have been enlightened. That gives you hope, right? You have desire to know God. It is possible. Because you have capacity. The capacity is not your capacity. Capacity is given by God. When he gave you the new birth, when he has enlightened you. The Paul has hope that God will grant his prayer because their heart has been enlightened. They have the capacity to know. That's why he's praying. Believers can know about God more deeply because of their spiritual enlightenment. Those who are sitting here and don't know Jesus, don't know this God, you don't have capacity to know about God. God has to be enlightened your heart first. He must give the spiritual enlightenment first. That's why he's praying for believers. Trust in God and his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, who is gracious, who enlightens your heart. Please go to him. turn your heart to Him. One of the reasons why some of the church members, that so-called Christians, they won't act properly because they don't know God. They're deceiving themselves. They know God. No, they don't know God. Their eyes of their hearts has not been enlightened. That's why they are struggling to know God. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, are you reading the Bible? Do you have desire to read the Bible, to know God? If you are not reading the Bible, you cannot learn who God is. You need to read the Bible. You should love the Bible. Then only you can grow knowing God. The third key aspect that we need to understand when praying for the knowledge of God is the blessings of God. The blessings of God. Verse 18, part B. So that you will know what is the hope of His calling. Verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of His power? He's telling that. Again, he says, so that, which refers to the purpose of praying. Why he is praying? So that you know what are the blessings of God in your life. So that you may know who God is in your life. The three blessings we receive from Him. The first blessing we receive from Him is the hope of His calling. We should know the hope of His calling. God calls people through the gospel. This call produces hope in them. The Greek idea is that His call produces hope. The believers, we should know, understand the hope. That is the prayer of Paul. This shows that we did not understand the hope completely. That's the reason why Paul is praying for it. Paul wants all believers must know about the hope. What things are events we hope for because of His saving calling. Examples of the hope which produced by His call. So there are so many, right? We have hope, right? Because of His calling, because of His salvation, we have hope. I can give two things. Christ will come to be with us, to judge His enemies. And they are secured forever and ever. These are the hopes, right? When you understand His calling, when you understand His salvation, you know that you are being secured. You are being secured. Christ will come. John Gospel chapter 10, verse 28. I will give eternal life to them. They will never perish. That is the hope. That is the hope. You should not have insecurity about your salvation because you have hope. You should know that hope that you are being secured. Jesus says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. That is our hope. That is our hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can see, turn with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. We see the truth very clearly there. 13 to 18. Please look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, which says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve, as do the rest of who have no hope. They don't have hope. They cry so much. They grieve so much. But we grieve with hope. With hope. While they are saying, he says, verse 2 says, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like the thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them. Suddenly, I am reading other verse. Excuse me. Verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Verse 16, listen, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That is our hope. Then we who are alive, remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That is our hope. So we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. When somebody is dead in Christ, what happens? No, we need to comfort because we have hope. We are going to be with the Lord. He is coming for us. And are you seeing what the Paul is encouraging us? So you need to understand the hope of his calling. There is a great hope for us. You need to understand. That is blessings. The hope of his calling teaches us the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of Christ. The second blessing we receive from him is his glorious inheritance. His glorious inheritance. Look at verse 8 in part B. So that you will know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is an inheritance which God gives to his people. Meaning of inheritance is literally what is given to one as possession. These are eternal blessedness in the kingdom of God. The share in the eternal blessings. Share in the eternal blessings. Acts chapter 20 verse 32. It says part, the middle of this verse says, to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God is going to give you inheritance. Possessions. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in the heaven for you. You need to know the inheritance, glorious inheritance of him. That's why he's praying. This is a rich and glorious inheritance. Literally, radiant inheritance, shining inheritance. It is so glorious. The same word used here, glorious inheritance. What you are going to be blessed by God. It is not nor shadow inheritance, shadow things. It is amazing, amazing inheritance. God is going to grant you. You should know that. You should know that. A friend of mine who lost all his earthly inheritance because of his faith in Lord Jesus Christ. When he trusted in Lord Jesus, his father told him, No, I won't give single paisa. He has so many assets, like no fields he has. But he told him, if you want everything from dad, don't follow that Jesus. If you are following that Jesus, you are going to lose everything. But what Paul is saying here, you should know the glorious inheritance, his glorious inheritance that he kept in heaven for you. Sometimes, no, we think, like, no, the inheritance and possessions of others, the worldly people, wicked people, you cannot compare the inheritance with their inheritance, which they have on the earth. Glorious, the word, same word used, glorious inheritance he gave. His glorious inheritance teaches us his love as a father, as a dad. I can give best things for my children, right? Which dad gives like faltu things? Like, no? Which is cheap things? Which does not honor him? What about Heavenly Father? He has his inheritance that is glorious. He kept for you in heaven. But we need to know the third blessing we receive from him. That is his great power towards us. Verse 19. What is the surpassing greatness of his power? Surpassing greatness of his power might be surpassingly great power. That is the idea. God is omnipotent. God is powerful God. God is all-powerful, having more than enough strength to do anything. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. The Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth, by your great power and by your outstretched arm, nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too difficult for you. But don't apply this verse to become rich on the earth. He is showing his great power towards us for heavenly blessings. We need to understand. Look at the phrase, towards us who believe. God exercises surpassing great power toward those who believe. Those who believe. His great power toward believers that he exercises. We can see some examples. He preserves us forever and ever. God is powerful. That's the reason he is going to preserve us. John 10:29 says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." When you know this God, when you know this powerful God, you have so much confidence in him. So much confidence. No one will touch you. No one will do harm for you. But it looks like somebody is doing some harm to you. No. God is the protector. Because he is the powerful God. The second fact, he is able to keep us from stumbling, make us to stand in his presence. Are you worried about, am I able to stand in the presence of God blamelessly? God is powerful. You need to understand. Jude 1:24 says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy." He is powerful God, so you are going to stand in his presence blamelessly. This is not your righteousness. This is not your sanctification. God is the one who makes you to stand in his presence. He is powerful God. He is powerful God. The third fact, he will rise us from dead by his power. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 says, "Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also rise us up through his power." Through his power. He will give us the glorious body of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44 says, it is very clear. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown as natural body, it is raised as spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body." You are going to receive the glorious body because this God is mighty. He is exercising his great power towards those who believe in him. If you are believing in him, then God is going to exercise his great power in your life. These are the blessings that comes from his great power. If this God is great, powerful God, then you can lean on him. You can trust in him. Brothers and sisters, we have seen that. It is done to God to know God more deeply. For that we need to pray. That's what Paul is saying. I want to remind you a song which we learned in NEFC and sing in our church. "Know you as you are." You remember that song? Verse 1 says, "I don't want to walk through the motions. If I miss great invitation to know you, God, I don't want to check all the boxes, living unaware of your presence." Verse 2, "I don't want halfway devotion or another passing emotion. You are not a God of my own invention. You are bigger than I would ever imagine." The chorus is so beautiful, right? "I want to know you, God. I want to know God more than just know about you. I want to know you as you are. I want to see you. Open the doorway of my heart." That is the prayer, right? "I want to know you, God." That should be our prayer for us. That should be prayer for others. Paul is doing that. know God, grow in the knowledge of God. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. Thank you so much, Lord, for your word, that you are teaching us who you are, and you are guiding us, instructing us to know you more, Lord. Lord, you have desire, you have will in our lives, that is to know you, Lord. Lord, help us to prioritize in our lives, that spending time in our lives with the Bible so that we may know you, Lord. I pray for these men and women. Lord, help them, Lord, to understand who you are in their lives so that they may stand in the world as a light, so that they may proclaim you, Lord, in the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.